We're going to continue our series in the book of Ecclesiastes. Paul has been preaching through this in my absence when I went sabbatical, and over the last couple of weeks as well. I'm going to pick it up in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And really our theme is making sense of life. And we ask yourself, what's the point of the book of Ecclesiastes? What's the big point? Well, really it's that. What is the point? That's the question the book of Ecclesiastes is wrestling with. What is the point of life? Is there any meaning, or is life just meaningless? We're going to think a little bit more about that this evening. Now, before I read Ecclesiastes 7, I want to have a little bit of an opinion poll with you here. I want a wee bit of interaction, see if you're still awake, still with me, and to gauge what you think. I'm going to put a few statements up on our big screens here, and they're contrasts. It'll take one thing and it'll contrast it with the other. And I want to find out what you think is the best. Is one thing better than another thing? So let's go for the first one. This will warm me up here. Desserts are better than starters. So if you went out for a meal, you went to a restaurant, you can only choose two courses. We take the main as the given. You had to choose between a starter or a dessert. Which way would you go? Okay, who thinks, hands up, desserts are better than starters? Okay, hands down. Who would go for the starter over the dessert? What's wrong with you people? Right, not with you. Now, this one is going to cause a reaction, okay? I might even get heckled on this one. Cats are better than dogs. Calm down, Karen Ashfield. Okay, I don't want you throwing anything. Right, who thinks cats are better than dogs? Two hands from Margaret. Okay, taking it serious. Who thinks dogs are better? And who couldn't care less? Right. Threw that one out to get a reaction. Books are better than movies. Hands up if you prefer a book over a movie. Connor, our bookworm, resident bookworm in the front row here. Who prefers the movies? Too much effort in a book. Okay, we're sort of mixed on that one. This one might cause a reaction. Tea is better than coffee. Deep in-breath there from some people. Who prefers tea? Knew there were some sensible people here. Who's into their coffee? Yeah, okay, right, let's go for another one. Football's better than rugby. Some of you don't care less. You think football's better? Well done, Jack. Who thinks football's better? Who thinks rugby's better? And who really couldn't care less on that one? Yeah, quite a few people. There we've got contrast where we say one thing is better than the other. We're going to read the start of Ecclesiastes 7, and you're going to find similar statements. Now, not as trivial as the ones we've just done, tea's better than coffee. But it's the same kind of language that's used here. It takes one thing and it compares it with another thing. One thing is better, greater than the other. Now, as we read these, I wonder, would you agree with the writer of Ecclesiastes? Let's read Ecclesiastes 7. I'm going to read the first three verses. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay to it heart and lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. Do you see those phrases? A good name is better than precious ointment. The day of death is better than the day of your birth. Would you agree with that statement? It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And sorrow is better than laughter. I wonder how many of those statements you would agree with. Now, we've moved into chapter 7. And chapter 7 of the book of Ecclesiastes is different from the other sections that we've read so far. So last week, Paul was in chapter 5 and chapter 6. And there was a real link. There was a structure and a theme in how the verses were connected. You're not going to find this in chapter 7. What you find in chapter 7 is loosely connected phrases. Really what this reads like is as if you were in the book of Proverbs. You get these wise sayings, and lots of different wise sayings. I've stopped at verse 3. You could go right the whole way down and read through this chapter. But lots of different themes are covered here, and they're not all connected. And when you read it, it reads like Solomon's Proverbs. That's one of the reasons why many people think Solomon was the author of the book of Ecclesiastes. And because there's so many different themes and topics covered here in chapter 7, I'm not even going to attempt to look at them here. It would just be impossible to cover them all. And actually tonight, I'm not going to cover all the themes covered in the first three verses. For this evening, all we're going to do is look at the first phrase, half a verse this evening. A good name is better than precious ointment. Now, it moves on the next thing, all about death there and sorrow. We're not going to look at those tonight because they are not overly connected with the first part of the sentence. There's a different sermon in there, and I hope I get a chance to preach that sermon at some time, because there's great truth in the rest of these verses, second half of verse 1 through to verse 3 as well. But let's focus on this one. A good name is better than precious ointment. I'm not going to get you to put your hands up for this one. But I wonder, do you agree with that statement? It's probably something you've never actually thought about. You never compared somebody's name to expensive perfume. But what exactly does this verse mean? What it's doing here, it's doing what we did earlier on. It's making a comparison. And it's taking a good reputation. That's what your name is. A good name is having a good reputation. And it's comparing it to expensive perfume. Which one's better? If you could have a choice between the two, would you go for a good name or would you go for good perfume? Now, in the ancient world, when this was written, perfume was seen as very, very valuable. Perfume, precious ointment, was so desirable. It was the ultimate luxury item of its day. Now, today, if somebody wants to go for a luxury item, they'd probably go for a fast sports car or maybe a £100,000 watch or designer clothes. Those are the desirable luxury items today. In Bible times, well, they didn't have the sports car, they didn't have the Rolex watches. Precious ointment. Beautiful smelling perfume was the desirable luxury item of the day. And we see this sometimes illustrated in its value in the New Testament. You think of the story of Jesus. And one day Mary came to Jesus with this expensive bottle of perfume. And it's probably estimated that it was a year's salary to pay for this one bottle of precious ointment. And she took it and she broke it over the feet of her Savior. Remember, Judas criticized, what a waste, that money could be taken and given to the poor. And yet Jesus said it was a beautiful thing that she took this precious ointment, and she poured it on his feet, and he said she was preparing him for his own burial. Something very, very precious. So why is a good name better than precious ointment? In the words of the teacher here in Ecclesiastes 7. Well, a good name was also considered something of great value in the ancient world. A good name, as I say, is all to do with your reputation. A good name represents the inward qualities of your life, the inward qualities of your life that everybody can see, your behavior. Somebody with great character would have a good name. Somebody who is rich in their speech and who says kind words and encouraging words would have a good name. They make a good name for themselves, and that was highly thought of in the ancient world. That was something to be admired. And the opposite was true as well. The thing that was despised was to have a bad name, to have a bad reputation, where your character was such, and your behavior was such, and your speech was such that people would talk about you. Look at that person. Look how they behave. That would give you a bad reputation. Now, the greatest person who ever lived here on earth, of course, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the greatest person ever to live on earth because he was perfect in every way. We think of the life of Christ. Because he was the Son of God, he was perfect. He was perfect in his speech. So never a word came out of the lips of Jesus Christ that he had to apologize for. There was never a word came out of his mouth that he had to take back. There was never a word that came out that came out the wrong way. Think about his actions, how he cared for people, how he treated people, how he was compassionate, how he came alongside people. Perfect in every way. All of his behavior was perfect. And so the book of Philippians, when it's describing Jesus Christ, says that Jesus is the name above all names. He had a good name. Why? Because his character was such, his speech was such, his behavior was such. He had a good name. In fact, his good name was the name above every name. Such was his character. Now, let's get back to your comparison here. Which is better? Is it better to have a good name, or is it better to have precious ointment? Two valuable things in the ancient world. Now, one of them, good name, is all to do with the inward person, who we are, our character that shines out so that others can see it. Now, that takes years to develop, doesn't it? You don't just suddenly arrive somewhere and within 5 minutes, you have a good name with everybody. A good name takes a long time to develop. People have to see you in action. People have to experience you. They have to know what kind of person you really are. It takes a long time to develop, but it also takes a long time to maintain. You see, you could have a good character. You could have good behavior, and everybody could have a good word with you, but you've got to maintain that. Because all it takes is a fall from your character and to do something that's inappropriate, and that good name could be soiled overnight. The other thing, if character, reputation concerns our inward person, the other concern is the outward. And what is precious ointment? What does expensive perfume often do? Often it covers the reality. It's not true. A good perfume can mask a bad odor. Think about Bible times. Often they would have put precious ointments, sweet-smelling perfume, on people's feet. They didn't have shoes like we had. They walked around in dusty places. They often had odor problems with their feet, and so when you arrived in someone's house, one of the things they would have done was they would have washed your feet. Think of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. They often would have put ointment on it as well. When it came to somebody's death and you had a dead body, they would put this ointment on. Why? To take away the bad smell. And really, what is the precious ointment doing? It's covering the reality. It's an outward show to mask what's really happening underneath. Let's also think about the effects of precious ointment. It's temporary. You put it on, it's beautiful to smell. You put it on and the whole room is filled with the aroma. How long does it last for? Half an hour? An hour? If it's really strong stuff, you might get a day of it, and then it's gone. Contrast that with character, which is longer and lasting than that. Precious ointment is also very, very expensive. Even today, perfume is expensive. Now, how do I know this? Well, I'm researching Joanne's Christmas present at the moment. I've discovered the most expensive perfume in the world. And the most expensive perfume in the world at the moment is this one here. It's made by DKNY. It's called Golden Delicious. What a dreadful name. It's as if you're going to eat it, Golden Delicious. This bottle of perfume will set you back $1 million. Joanne, you're going to get a bag of Golden Delicious for Sainsbury's for Christmas instead of this. Expensive. Is it worth that? Absolutely not. But expensive, precious ointment perfume costs a lot of money. How much does a good name cost? Nothing. Doesn't cost a single penny. But here's the reality. And though it doesn't cost a single penny in monetary terms, it's worth far, far more. A good name, a good reputation is worth more than money can buy. Now, some people love perfume. I'm not a big fan. But I hope here this evening, as we think about this and we make this contrast, what would you choose? Which is better, a good name or good perfume? I hope we'd all agree that it's better in life to have a good name than expensive perfume will only last for a short time. Now, this was written thousands of years ago, relevant to the culture of its day, where a good name and good perfume were highly thought of. How is these words relevant to us today? And as we think about it, we say, well, it's a wee bit out of date. Perfume's not as desirable. Yes, people like perfume. You know, people like to get it as a Christmas present and choose the scent that they like. Perfume is still appreciated, but it's not of the same value as it did back in Bible times. But what we do is we live in a world that chases the outward show. We live in a world where that kind of thing is prominent. You've got to look good. You've got to smell good. You've got to have all the right things. We live in a world which desires luxury products, this outward show to try and impress people, whether that be expensive clothes, whether that be the expensive perfume that you wear with that, the designer watches, the cars, the shoes, the handbags, all those kind of things. We live in a world where image is everything. And that's what people value. People look at people, look at what they're wearing, look what they've got. But actually, there's something greater than that. There's something better. Here's what Proverbs says. Now, we've already said the book of Ecclesiastes, probably written by Solomon. We see a real similarity. Here's what Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said in Proverbs 22. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. That's what the richest man in the world said. It's very similar to what we read in Ecclesiastes. There's something greater than the luxuries of this world. There's something greater than what money can buy in this world. And it's a good reputation, it's good character, and it's a good name. Now let's think about this from a Christian point of view, because most of the people in this room tonight would call themselves a Christian. Most of you would take the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And as a Christian, we bear somebody else's name. So my name is Peter Lowther. I can have a reputation for myself, but I'm a public disciple of Jesus Christ. I've been baptized as a public declaration that I follow Christ. Part of my identity is, this is the most important thing in my life, I am a Christian. I bear the name of Christ Jesus. What a tragedy it is to hear when people say, do you see so-and-so over there? Calls himself a Christian. You want to see how they get on in work? Have you heard that kind of thing? Have you experienced that before? As Christians, we bear somebody else's name. And yet, sadly, we soil the name of Christ by the way we behave, the way our character lives itself out in reality. Isn't that a tragedy when that happens? What a tragedy when we give a bad name to the name that we take, Lord Jesus. But the opposite of that is also true. What a joy, what a testimony when somebody has a good name and they identify with Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard that? See that person over there? That person's a real Christian. Sometimes the way people will phrase that. They can identify. They're somebody and they behave in such a way in the workplace. They're not gossiping. They're not acting with a bad attitude. They don't have a cynical spirit, and yet they conduct themselves in such a way, and they also take the name of somebody else, Christ Jesus, and that person has a good name. And that good name is a reflection on the other name that they take Christ Jesus' name as well. You see, when it boils down to thing, our character is vital. Who we are and how we live is vital for us as believers. That's why the Bible emphasizes character so much. It emphasizes it here in the church as well. Think about positions that we have in the local church. Deacons and elders are some of those ones that are listed in the Bible. When it comes to choosing people to take on the responsibility within a local church, who do you choose? What does the Bible set out? Does it ask us to pick the most gifted people? Does it ask us to find the people with the greatest amount of money or position or wealth in this world? No. What is the qualification for serving in the local church? It's character. Having a good reputation for how you behave. Because character is vital to who we are if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read some verses. You go to your Bible there. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. So forward in the New Testament. The 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look through qualifications for overseers. That's elders, first of all, and then deacons. 1 Timothy 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. Can't find fault in the way they behave. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well and with all dignity keeping his children submissive. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? What are all those things got to do with? Our character, the way we behave. And then it goes on, verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Do you get that in verse 7? He must be well thought of by outsiders. He must have a good name. As other people look on, they must say, there is somebody of good character. There is somebody of good reputation. Why? Because if other people, non-Christians, are looking on and they can see there's somebody with a bad reputation, a bad name, what does that do to the testimony of a local church? And then let's look on in verse 8 about deacons. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of faith with clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves, and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing, gain a good name for themselves. And what does that come from? It comes from character. To serve in Christ's church, to be part of Christ's church, having a good name is the best qualification. Now I wonder, and this is the challenge to all of us, it's a challenge to me as it is to you as we think about Ecclesiastes 7. If you're a Christian, what kind of name do you have? What kind of reputation? Because having a good name is more valuable than the luxuries of this world. What kind of name do you have in your home? What kind of reputation do you have with your children if you're a parent? Would your children say, yep, my father and my mother, they have a good name. They have a good reputation. I live with them. I see them every day. And they live it out. They're not perfect. Nobody is. But they have a good name. They have a good reputation. Or what would your parents say about you? Yeah, it's my child, and I love them dearly, and I love them no matter what they do. And they have a good name, a good reputation. Or would they tell a different story? What about your workplace? Would the people you work with, who see you as you interact and as you behave, would they say, yep, that person there, they have a good name. They have a good reputation. I've met some people on occasions, bumped into them, you know, where do you work? And they tell me where they work. Oh, I know somebody who works there, some Christian friend that I have. And sometimes you get this look on people's faces as if to say, that person? Would your work colleagues have a good name for you? Yeah, he doesn't gossip. He's hardworking. He's trustworthy. He's honest in everything they do. What about your neighborhood? What would my neighbors say about me? What would they say about you? There's a grumpy person. That person would never stop and help you, never give you the time of day. Or would they say, no, that person is a good person. A good person in their behavior, their reputation, here in the street, here in the neighborhood. What about in church? What would people say? They have a good name in the church. They have a good reputation. Or there's a cynical person. There's a grumpy person. There's a person who's two-faced. Remember, a good name is better than the luxuries of this world. And it's not just vital to have a good name in one aspect of your life. You need to have a good name and reputation in all the different areas of our lives as well. See, as Christians who identify with the name of Christ, our character, our reputation should be a primary concern for us. Our desire should be to invest in our character development. So our character is becoming more Christ-like. We thought about this last Sunday morning, and we thought about the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts and our lives, so that the fruit of the Spirit is displayed. This should be a desire of ours. This should be something we invest in, that we have a good reputation and a good character because we bear the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we want to do things that honor him in our life.
Very helpful passage for this is Colossians chapter 3. It'd be really good if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. God's word is so practical. God's word is so practical for daily living. And this is just an incredible chapter I'm about to read. I'm going to read all the chapter. I'm not going to make any apologies for it. I'm going to read it. I'll make a few little comments here and there. But what I want tonight is I want God's word to speak to you. I want God's word to be a help to you. And as we think about this, we don't want to just think about having a good name and a good character and a good reputation here tonight, walk out the door and forget about this. This is something we need to think about. This is something we need to meditate upon. This is something we need to pray into our lives. This needs to be a priority in it. So if you want a chapter in the Bible to read this week and to meditate upon and to pray over, Colossians 3 will be a wonderful chapter. Maybe you're not in the habit of having, reading your Bible each day. Well, today's a good time to start. Start having a spiritual habit, and this would be a great place to start. Just reading this word, meditate upon it, maybe even memorizing some of these verses. Get it into your mind and your heart, and then live it out. Let's listen to these great words from Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So if you've been raised spiritually, you're a believer, then we need to set our mind and our hearts on spiritual things, things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So set your mind on things above. Now, as we live here on earth below, how should we live? Well, it gives us some clear instructions. There are things we need to take off. So think of old clothes that we need to remove, and there's new spiritual clothes that we need to put on. So let's pick it up in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk with your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self, which is with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. These are the things you put off. Did you get some of those things? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. All those things that would give you a bad name. These are the bits of our character we need to put off with the Holy Spirit's help. Now, what do we put on in its place? Put on then, verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So how do you live this kind of life, this godly life where you've put on these godly characteristics? Well, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. God's word needs to be prominent in your life, and let it have an effect, the power of the word helping to change you. And then look at verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, as a Christian, we don't do everything in our name. We do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bear another's name. And because we bear his name, it's important that we live as one of his followers, that we put off the sinful things and we put on the godly things. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then it gives it very specific, practical things that we do if we live out a godly life. Let's pick it up in verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. What a challenging chapter, full of practical, godly advice for Christian living, so that our character we can shape by not sinful desires or sinful practices, but our character can be shaped by godliness. And living godly lives, we'll have a good reputation in our homes. We'll have a good reputation in the workplace. We'll have a good name in church life and wherever the Lord takes us. So why not think about this chapter over the next week or two or longer? Great chapter to take throughout your life, to meditate upon these words and pray the truths into your life. So which is better, a good name or precious ointment? A good reputation or the luxury goods of this world? Now, we started with a list of comparison, which were better, cats or dogs, tea or coffee. All those things are subjective. Half the room put up their hand for one thing, half put up for the other. It was all a matter of opinion. I hope we don't fall out over these things, all down to personal taste. But when it comes to what we find here in Ecclesiastes, it's not up for debate, and it's not up for discussion, and it's not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of truth. And the matter of truth on this is, a good name is better than precious ointment. A good name flowing out of a good godly character is worth far more than the luxury goods of this world. May God help every single one of us to take this seriously. May God help each one of us to value our character and our reputation. And may God help us to value these things over the outward show of riches in this world. May we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for such a practical challenge from this book, Ecclesiastes. We thank you for these words of wisdom. May we value the real things in life. In a world that knows the price of everything and the value of very little, may we value godly character and a good name over the riches and luxuries of this world. Lord God, we may be poor in so many ways, and yet help us to be spiritually rich in our character and our godliness. We pray for each one of us that we would have that desire to have a good name in our home because it reflects well of our Savior. Help us to have a good name and a good reputation in our workplaces this week. Help us to have a good name and a reputation in our neighborhood and in our community. And may we have that desire to have a good name and reputation in the church where we worship and serve with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to put off the old sinful nature, the anger, the malice, the lies. And fill us with the Holy Spirit because we are weak. Fill us and equip us that we might put on godliness, that we might have hearts that are compassionate, that we might be full of kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and all these other godly characteristics. Help us, equip us, and bless us. And we ask all this in the great and mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.